Poppin' Part 2, people! Yeah! We are flying high after a major get in Part 1. Apologize to Part 2 people who refused to listen to Part 1 out of the rivalry that you will not be able to hear Ken Bone.
Well, Part 2 people have been getting Ken Boned because there hasn't been a Part 2 for a long time.
I know. Some people have said they've heard, something like 2 shows out of the last 5 because there's no Part 2.
Do they cross over to the dark side and listen to Part 1?
They refuse.
They refuse. They're that steadfast and they're...
They're Part 2 people. That's all they are. It's really weird. It's a strange phenomenon. I know, maybe a big mistake. The rivalry. But anyway, yeah, Ken Bone was fab.
He was great.
And, I mean, to catch him on the way to Jimmy Kimmel, too. How cool is that?
Yeah. Wish he would have rolled up the window, but yeah.
And so now here we are in Part 2, and something I wanted to kind of get to at the beginning, but, you know, the debate has really taken over the planet. This election has taken over just so much of people's time, media-wise. So Coachella had to wait, but that's okay. There's plenty of time, thanks to Part 2. And the Stones did something really cool, I thought.
What's the deal with this Coachella version? Because they had Coachella back in the spring like they always do. Is this just a special version?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they could get all these guys together?
Yeah. It's just they just figured this venue was the size they would need to put together these kind of combinations for McCartney, Neil Young, the Stones, Dylan, and Roger Waters and the Who on 3 consecutive nights with a lot of people camping and a lot of people not camping. I don't know how many hotels are around there, but I know they're stuffed with people seeing these shows, of course. And the Stones, this had to be for effect, the fact that they're playing the same venue as Paul McCartney the next night. Came out with something pretty cool, a Beatles cover. I don't know that I think they've covered the Beatles before. You know, I'd have to look at Setlist FM. Have you looked at that set? What a great site that is.
Yeah, I usually will look at it while I'm at the concert. So I know what song's coming up. It usually works, too. Is that annoying? Oh, yeah. Is that a stupid thing to do? Or do you like to be surprised?
No, I don't like to be surprised. I like to plan my bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
And beer breaks and stuff like that. But check this out. As the Stones do a genuine, serious Beatles cover. No, not I Want to Be Your Man, which John and Paul wrote for them. They finished it off, which is a cool story. Gave it to the Stones for their first hit. And this is after the Beatles had really exploded. The Stones were miles behind them. And this helped the Stones break through and then have their own hits, of course, shortly after. But here's Come Together from
Strange for You Now. We're going to
Coachella.
Do another song with some sort of unknown beat group that you might remember. We're going to try a cover of one of their tunes.
Hello. Yeah, some beat group.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, then, have a go. Have a go at this.
Played for an hour 35, which seems short to me.
An hour 35
yeah.
for a festival? That's kind of long for a festival, isn't it?
Well, there's only 2 shows.
Oh.
No.
don't know. It's a, what did they when they played at Comerica? How long do they play for?
2 hours.
Yeah, it's not that.
Twenty. This is definitely one of the favorite Beatle covers to play.
Why is that?
I don't know. I always liked this song. I mean, this is one of the first songs I actually heard the Beatles play on the radio when I was a kid. Or played on the radio. Aerosmith had a hit with it.
Yep.
I think he's a little late getting to that verse. If there's one thing similar about the Beatles and the Stones, it's got to be Charlie Watts and Ringo Starr. Just keep it a beat, man. Little harp from Mick. They opened the show with Start Me Up, which is a pretty common starter song for them. Start Me Up. You Got Me Rockin'. Out of Control. I don't know why they like playing that. It's not a well-known song. It's on one of the more recent albums. I think Mix just likes it. Ride 'Em On Down, I think, is a new track. New old track.
Pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
What?
It's huge. There's just people forever. Amazing.
The average attendee spent regular attendee spent an average of $1,000 to go see it this week.
Woo! Well, imagine people that flew from the East Coast.
I guess they had sofa areas and vegan nachos.
Oh my. Okay.
How adorable.
Ride 'Em On Down. Song number 4, followed by Mixed Emotions. Not too happy with the set list so far. Wild Horses, It's Only Rock and Roll. Come Together, strange kind of place to play that. I don't know. I guess you want to just throw it in there somewhere. Tumbling Dice.
Nice.
Honky Tonk Woman. No, Tumbling Dice, nice. Is one of my favorite live songs they do.
No, Honky Tonk
Woman. Honky Tonk Woman, Into Slipping Away. The Keith,
bathroom song.
The Keith tracks, yeah. Slipping Away and Little TNA.
Definitely the bathroom moment.
And they said Keith sounded ragged on those songs.
Oh, I'm shocked.
And there were feedback problems. Which they said was perfect. Then Mick returns from Midnight Rambler into...
Great song.
Yeah. Great live song. Into Miss You. Woo! Gimme Shelter.
That's another good one live. Great.
Yeah. Gimme Shelter. Just, I mean, they have like 10 tracks that are just so killer live. They play them so many times.
I think Gimme Shelter might be my favorite Stone song.
Mark, I think we are on the same page,
really?
My man. I swear I've been asked that question.
Tumbling Dice.
Well, I love Tumbling Dice, but Gimme Shelter is my favorite Rolling Stones
really?
Song, period, God, I think.
So good.
3 for 3 on the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me guess, your next one's Sympathy for the Devil, too. That's probably the next.
It's really close.
That's definitely.
It's in my top 3 or 4,
yeah.
For sure. Sympathy for the Devil into Brown Sugar and Jumpin' Jack Flash, and then 2 encores. This is quite unusual. Yeah. You can't always get what you want. And the finale of Satisfaction.
Nice.
Not bad, but less tracks than they normally play. And then the Dylan, there was a lot of talk about how Dylan's set list, you know, usually Dylan plays for Dylan. You know, like, here's what I feel like playing tonight. Sorry. But he really played hits. Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35, and he said he had a real smile on his face. That everybody must get stoned. Seemed to be really into it for some reason. Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Highway 61 Revisited. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. High Water for Charlie Patton. Simple Twist of Fate, one of my favorite Dylan songs. Early Roman Kings. A little Simple Twist of Fate. Sneak that in there. Early Roman Kings, Lovesick, Tangled Up in Blue. That might be Simple Twist of Fate and Tangled Up in Blue. Definitely two of my top five Dylan faves. Lonesome Day Blues. Trying to read the wrist. Read the list. Lead the wrist. I'm trying to lead the wrist. Trying to read the list really slowly so we can get Simple Twist of Fate in there.
Did he have any long, like banter on stage about the election or anything?
I think not.
Oh, really?
No, he's not a big banterer. Lonesome Day Blues. Oh, it's live. This could be any manner of arrangement. Although it sounds...
Isn't this live from the Coachella?
From Coachella?
They call it?
No.
It's from 93.
I hope not. Yeah. I was going to say, anything live in the last 5 years, I don't really want to hear it if it's Bob Dylan because his voice is really cooked.
Ooh,
I mean, it's a croak.
Is this a parody?
I much, much, much prefer the studio version.
I've just never liked them.
Play the studio version, please.
Trying to keep with the live things.
Bob is so hit or miss live. The Simple Twist of Fate. Lonesome Day Blues, Make You Feel My Love, Pay in Blood, Desolation Row, Soon After Midnight, and Ballad of a Thin Man, and no encore for Bob Dylan. Sorry!
It's because the Stones had to get up there.
The Stones did close that, I think. I'm pretty sure. I mean, if they didn't, something's criminally wrong.
If you could only go, I think I know what the answer would be, but if you could have only gone to one night, what would it have been?
Oh, it'd be McCartney and Neil.
That's kind of what I thought you would choose.
It sounded like Neil played his ass off.
Yeah.
22 minutes of Down by the River, which has that great guitar solo. That...
I think I would have picked the last night, only because I haven't seen those two guys live.
Roger Waters is great.
Never seen The Who live, and I've always loved The Who.
Oh.
Jay and I were talking about them the other day.
Who live are awesome. Roger Waters live is fantastic too. I got to tell you, The Wall was one of the best shows I have seen in a long time.
He probably had some stage banter. Wouldn't you think, Roger?
Roger
Waters?
Is he's the bantering type.
Yeah.
But you know, I think most of his banter comes outside of the shows. I mean, he likes to talk, but
yeah.
He didn't do a lot of it during the show.
What, each guy got, 20 million, or each band got 20 million?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Jeez.
David Crosby thought it was terrible. They sat
together. Because he wasn't invited.
That's a good point. Funny, I didn't even think of that when I read that. I just thought, oh, it's David Crosby being David Crosby. But it's funny because Neil's in it.
Yeah, no.
He's calling Neil greedy. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight. Watched out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well, and stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. Why can't you just sing like this?
Felt the heat of the night.
Is it really that hard to sing like this? Anyone can do it.
Like a freight train. With a simple twist of fate. A saxophone someplace far off played as she was walking on by the arcade, as a light bust through a beat up shade where he was waking up. She dropped a coin into the cup above a blind man at
the gate. Forgot
about a simple twist of fate.
Okay, Mark's been tortured enough.
That's fine. I'm not saying anything. I'm letting you enjoy.
I know you
it.
Don't like Dylan at all, which
oh,
is my.
I don't get it.
I don't get. I'm shocked that you don't like Bob Dylan or Bruce Springsteen. I thought at least you'd like one of them it's a lot.
Those two, I just don't. I don't get it. I'll just go with that.
You said anybody could sing this, Drew. You think Ken Bone could do this? Yeah. Imagine Ken Bone doing karaoke.
Ken Bone could do it. Anyone could.
Every
do
song
Bob.
Would be about the energy. The energy sector.
Lad.
By the way, Bone can do whatever he wants, Jay.
Not really! Brought on by a simple twist of fate.
Are there any songs about coal? Like, what would Ken Bone sing? I can see him doing, he could do Electric Avenue.
There's got to be a coal miner song, right?
Oh, coal miner's daughter.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I mean, there's got to be multiple songs about coal,
you would think.
You would think. Okay, so anyway, the other cool track I thought, there's actually a lot of tracks out there. I thought McCartney and Neil Young together on Why Don't We Do It in the Road. Not the greatest Beatles song ever, but McCartney's I always loved that song. I thought that was McCartney at his screaming greatest. And, you know, Lennon always said that he wished he had written that song, that he should have written that song.
Okay.
And that if he didn't write it, he should have at least tried to sing the song because it was more in his... it's funny, the two of them said that about each other's songs on a few occasions. God, that should have been my song. Why didn't I write that song?
Do you have a McCartney set list?
Yeah.
Is it any different than what he's been doing?
You know, there's a couple of twists. This is nice because Neil does a jam in the middle of it, which is... The problem with Why Don't We Do It in the Road is, well, there's only two lines to it, which is part of its beauty. Why Don't We Do It in the Road? No one will be watching us.
You said they did Get a Piece of Chance too, though, right?
Yeah, and A Day in the Life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A Day in the Life into... Give Peace a Chance. McCartney's always done it as a medley, kind of, sort of.
I didn't know that. Why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we just do it in the
road? Why don't we do it in the road? This band sounds real chunky with Neil in it.
Sounds better than that bassist he had down in, what, Argentina? Or the girl he brought up?
Oh, yeah, the little 10-year-old. Yeah, that was funny. But I always liked this song. I just wanted it to be more than a minute and 29 seconds. By the way, the recording is all McCartney. It's McCartney playing drums, McCartney playing guitar, McCartney playing bass, and I think McCartney playing piano. Maybe the only Beatles song like it.
What a music hog.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that for the Ballad of John and Yoko, too?
He and John did it.
Oh, he and John?
Yeah.
Okay.
No Ringo or George, though.
I thought he played everything on that song.
Well, John sings it, of course, and I think John plays rhythm guitar.
Why don't you just do it in the road, then?
Let's go.
Just do it in the road.
Okay, here's the guitar solo that always should have been. If I need a guitar solo, I think I want Neil Young. Just for a solo. Is anyone better?
Living?
Anywhere, anytime.
Eddie?
You know, what's cool about this show, and I didn't quite get as much from the Stones, is it just looks like Paul and Neil and the band are just having a blast.
Mm. Well, it's an event, right? Something different.
Yeah, absolutely. They've played together before. They're actually pretty good friends, I think. They've done some charitable stuff together. Why don't we do it? And I'm looking for Paul's set list.
Damn it.
I had it.
You know what, Jay? Can you bring up McCartney's set list for Coachella 2016? I don't know what the fuck I did with it. What a dick. Come on, Drew. Stones. Dylan. Neil. Neil, by the way, Heart of Gold, Comes a Time, Mother Earth, Out on the Weekend, Human Highway, Neighborhood, Show Me, Harvest Moon, Words, Walk On, Texas Rangers, Powderfinger, Down by the River, Seed Justice, Peace Trail, Welfare Mothers, and Rockin' in the Free World.
I hate that song. I hate Rockin' in the Free World.
I've always liked Rockin' in the Free World, probably because of the way he plays it live. I mean, he so gets into it.
I hate that Pearl Jam always ends with it, too, most of the time.
Yeah, what about Pearl Jam with Neil? Now, that's not bad.
They've done that before.
Okay, cool thing about the set list is he's been opening with A Hard Day's Night, which, of course, has that famous chord to start, whatever the hell it is, which no one could figure out what it was for the longest time. And it's a John Lennon vocal, though Paul always sang the middle part, the when I'm home, everything, because John couldn't hit that note. So Paul had the middle part, but otherwise it's a Lennon song. Into Jet, Into Can't Buy Me Love.
Sweet.
Letting Go from Venus and Mars. Great song. That's a little obscure, but I love it. Day Tripper. With a real chunky guitar on it, by the way. I checked it out today. Let Me Roll It. I've Got a Feeling, one of my favorite Beatles songs.
Great song.
My Valentine, 1985, which B-side of Band on the Run.
I don't know either of those two.
Okay, Jay, 1985, please. Wait, sorry. I guess I have to read the list first. Fuck.
Sorry.
Because you need to hear it.
No, wait, if you have it on set, like, you can just hit the little play button by it, right? Is there a little play button by it?
Actually, there is.
Yeah.
But I lost my set list.
Oh!
Maybe I'm Amazed. We Can Work It Out. In Spite of All the Danger, the Quarrymen song.
I love Maybe I'm Amazed.
Yeah, great tune. In Spite of All the Danger actually is a really great. That's like one of the first songs he ever wrote, and it comes across pretty well.
I don't know that song.
It's the one that goes.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I would have gone.
It's an audience participation song.
I would have gone to the bathroom. Oh, it is?
Yes.
I definitely would have gone to the bathroom.
I've Just Seen a Face.
Although it's hard with his. Oh, really? God, yeah. I like that song.
I know. It's a nice set list here. Love Me Do, which I, you know, the problem, I just don't think he's played that much.
The problem with going to the bathroom near McCartney, a lot of the songs are really short.
True.
And especially at Old Cello, you'll have to, it's probably a half-hour journey to the bathroom.
I would definitely work My Valentine into the bathroom trip, although I don't want to miss 1985, which you don't know, but trust me, great, great song. Love Me Doing to End, I Love Her. I might just for the
yeah,
slow
I'd go
songs.
To that.
Blackbird.
I love that song, but I'd still combined with the other two, I'd go to the bathroom.
Then. I've heard it a lot. Here Today, the Lennon tribute into Queenie Eye. There's another bath. There's a couple bathrooms.
That's like
here.
Five bathrooms in a row.
Lady Madonna.
I like that song.
4 or 5 seconds.
Oh my God, that song?
Yeah, he's doing it.
That's the dump song.
That could be a nice bathroom
that
break. Although that's a short song too.
Song.
It was a big hit.
That's
it's his
the one
first
he did with
hit.
Kanye, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful.
I don't know why he's playing that. Probably seem, because it's his hit. First. It's his first top five hit since 1988 or something like
okay.
that. Eleanor Rigby,
awesome.
Being That's for the benefit of Mr. Kite,
fantastic. Love that song.
I know we're really strong here. Day in the Life with Neil,
awesome.
Into Give Peace a Chance. Into Why Don't We Do It in the Road?
Just do it.
Something.
Something what?
Obladi Oblada.
Great.
Band on the Run. Band like On the Run.
Where are you guys going?
Into Back in the USSR. I'm confusing two characters here. I felt bad with a cold. Butthead. Let It Be. Into Live and Let Die.
Well, which one is it? Do I Let It Be or Live and Let Die?
Hey Jude. To Wrap the Concert.
Wow, that's
we're not even in the encores yet. I Want to Be Your Man, that song that he and John, actually, great story. They were walking around in London, and the Stones were in a cab, and they were driving by, and they saw
they
John
looked into
Paul
each other's eyes.
With their guitars.
The same phrase to each other.
Their guitars slung over their
made
backs.
Out.
That's where it went. Actually, they were headed to the studio, and they asked if they wanted to come join them. And when they got to the studio, there was an argument over what the B-side was going to be, and somebody was saying, you guys need another song. And they kind of looked at them like, do you guys know a song we use for a B-side? And they said, no, not really. And then I think Paul said, oh, there's one we're kind of working on, you know, like a piece of shit that we don't care about.
It's your B-side.
And he and John went in the corner and finished the last verse, I guess, and came out with some... There's not a lot of words to I want to be your man. No. It's, I want to be your man. 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 So I don't think they had to spend that much time, but the Stones were blown away. Oh, my God. They just went in the corner and they gave us a song.
It's kind of insulting if you're a musician.
Well, it ended up being a top 20 hit. I think it was number 17, which was their first top 40 hit, period, in the U.S. or the U.K. So that was kind of a broke the glass ceiling, as it were, at the time for them. I Want to Be Your Man into Helter Skelter, into Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, and the
Sweet.
End.
Sweet.
Not a bad little encore.
The Abbey Road ending, almost all of it.
There you go. Yeah, except for Helter Skelter from the White Album.
And Jay and I were watching the other night.
You can hit 1985.
Tenacious D plays that, the Abbey Road medley.
Tenacious D.
Jack always plays it live. He's really good at it. See, those two are so good.
I like them. I definitely like just about everything they do. You don't know this song?
I might. Let me hear it. So far, it does not sound familiar.
Is it making you want to go take a shit or go to the bathroom?
No, that's the Kanye song you did with Paul. Okay. Sir Paul.
It's the last song on the album Band on the Run. I don't see a hint of recognition on your face.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard this song. I like it.
It's the B-side of the Band on the Run single, too. Pretty good B-side. Shake it! Shake it! Shake it, honey! Hey, make it or break it! Turn the card! This album was a monster. This was when he was getting pretty much ragged for everything he did because Lennon was ragging him. The media loved Lennon, so they picked up all of it, and he was taking a beating. In fact, the album Ram, which was a killer, killer record, a real poppy, Beatley-sounding thing, just got... Rolling Stone gave it 1 star, I believe. John Landau wrote a review. John Landau, Springsteen's manager... And called it like the nadir of 60s overproduction or something, even though it was 1971. And the album has become so beloved over the years. In fact, it won a Grammy a couple years ago when it was re-released, remastered or whatever. Rolling Stone redid their review and gave it 5 stars.
Wow.
I know.
Huh.
But anyway, this was supposed to be his... kind of his comeback album. This showed he still had it, and had Band on the Run was a hit. It was one of those number one hits that was number one, and then it was going down the charts, came back to number one, one of the only ones that's ever done that, and I think it did it twice, I don't know why. And then Jet was on there, and then Hell on Wheels was a hit too. So it was a pretty monstrous kind of, I think it was the album of the year.
It's a pretty good set list by Paul though.
Oh yeah. You know, when he first toured, he didn't do Beatles songs.
Why?
Because he wanted to separate himself from the Beatles. I know.
Oh, you mean back then? I thought you meant like recently.
In 74,
like
75.
Tour. Okay.
He came to America in 75.
I guess I could see that. It's kind of silly looking back now.
Well, you know what's weird about it? He had so many hits already that it wasn't a big deal because he played like 5 songs. 5 Beatles songs. And the rest was, Band on the Run, Ram. The McCartney album had a couple songs on it. Maybe I'm Amazed was out. And Live and Let Die was from... I don't think he played this.
Like this one at all or no?
Yeah, like, it's one of those real simple hello, goodbye, you know. I mean, isn't it really the genius of Paul McCartney? He can do something so simple and have a hit. This is a big hit. Yeah. Actually, this was the hit when he came to America for the first time after the Beatles split up, which was a big deal. I've never seen as many cameras as the first American tour. I went to Chicago. He did four shows in Chicago, and then I went when he came on stage. I've never seen so many cameras.
Really?
Ever.
Until the camera phone was invented, and now it's every event.
Yeah, not that I'm the expert on events that have tons of people taking pictures, but just in my simple life.
We'll have to call our Beatles guy that had the pictures. Remember the interview you did?
Oh, yeah.
Call him.
What's his name? Yeah, I don't remember. He's very serious.
Yeah, he was intense. He wouldn't go off the subject, remember?
Yeah. forbid.
Well, it's funny when, you know, it wasn't like it was that intense a subject that it needed to be stayed on.
No, what was the point?
It was something funny happened at a backstage at a Rolling Stones concert, which he brought up.
Yeah.
And then when we tried to get him to extrapolate, he didn't want to go off topic.
Was he the one that was talking about the echo chain? Who's talking about the echo chain? Oh, no, that's the guy with the top 10 songs. That guy is great too. The guy that wrote the letter to the editor, the Free Press.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tell me,
funny
fake echo chamber, museum.
Yeah. You know, there was something else out about music today. The top 10 riffs of all time.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Satisfaction's probably number one, right?
I don't think it was.
Really?
It was something stupid. I don't
always come up number one there.
Yeah, I've seen it in. I've seen it.
Sweet
in
a, Child of Mine.
Like that. Yeah, Sweet Child of Mine was on.
Always
there.
Up there.
You know what? I think that the people answering the question didn't get. They didn't understand the question. I mean, that sounds real stupid. But judging by the answer,
somebody else then.
What do you do? Okay, here's the list. Number 10, Tony Iommi, Paranoid.
Okay.
Number 9, yep, Prince, agree. Purple Rain. It's a good solo. Slash, Sweet Child of Mine.
So is it solo? What's the list then?
Top 10 guitar solos of all time.
So it's guitar solos. It's not just the riff, the opening riff.
Right. No.
Okay. That's making a little more sense.
Brian May, Killer Queen.
Awesome. God, he's so underrated.
I know, he is.
Because Freddie was so flamboyant. Brian's just like, I'm just going to sit in the corner and rock out and grow my hair.
Well, that sucks when your singer is so unique to your sound that when the singer's gone, there's just no band. Although
that's,
they've
that's
proven
what makes them so good, though, was how different they are.
They've toured with other singers, though, and done really well. I mean, that Paul Rogers tour was great.
Yeah, wow.
Paul Rogers is a great singer. He really is underrated, in my opinion, because I love the Bad Company stuff, definitely. I like a lot of Bad Company songs. Not the ones you hear on classic rock radio.
The same two or three.
Yeah, more the, oh, you know, Silver, Blue, and Gold, Running with the Pack, The first few records. Can you bring up Silver, Blue, and Gold, Jay?
So Killer Queen was seventh?
Some crazy musical desires. Yeah, Slash, Sweet Child of Mine, Brian May, Killer Queen, number 7. Eddie Van Halen, Eruption.
Awesome.
Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower. Mm-hmm. I guess this list is pretty...
That's lost a little luster just because you've heard it so many times. Although I've heard Eruption so many times, I still love it.
Not as many times as All Along the Watchtower, though.
No, I mean,
not even close.
Reason.
And there's two versions, too. There's Dylan version and the Hendrix version.
Well, there's no doubt which one's way better.
Alan Collins of a band called Lynyrd Skynyrd. Freebird, man!
Yeah.
What song is it you want to hear?
Still like that song.
What song is it you want to hear? I actually like Freebird. Don Felder and Joe Walsh. Care to guess?
The Eagles for what?
Hotel California.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't like that song.
Not really.
Dave Gilmour, Comfortably Numb, which usually
Sweet.
Is mentioned.
Yeah.
That one is so stupid.
What? What?
Jimmy Page, Stairway to Heaven.
And I love Zeppelin, but man.
Anything with that song. It should just be eliminated, I think.
The most recent one is Sweet Child of Mine and Purple Rain. I guess Paranoid is late 70s, right, Jay?
Yeah.
When's Eruption?
Oh, yeah. Forgot about Eruptions. It's like, was that on 84?
No.
Is that after that?
It was before. It was on Van Halen 1.
Oh, is it 79?
You're talking 80? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's been no good guitar solos since then.
When's Comfortably Numb?
Same time.
Yeah. Comfortably Numb. Yeah, that's crazy. Come on, something from the 90s or the aughts? Even the 80s?
You can laugh, but I always like McCready's solo in Rearview Mirror by Pearl Jam.
Just probably not a good enough, well-known enough song, I'm just going to guess.
Well, or his solo in, that's another guitar I think is so underrated, McCready.
Well, Pearl Jam has a lot of great solos, definitely. But I can't think of the one that just stands out above all of them. Maybe they're just too
consistent.
Jake,
you play the solo in Rearview Mirror. So once again, when they play it live, he solos for like 8 minutes.
By the way, Doug Elbinger, the photographer we're thinking about.
Yeah, Elby.
You can turn a little more volume on that, Jay. I can't tell how much Optimod effect we have or don't have on this broadcast. You know, the radio will always pull you above the music. If you don't have the music loud enough, it'll just die. We're going to have a lot of this day in history while we're at it. And a funny little story from David Lee Roth. I mean, the dumbest David Lee Roth story today. It's his birthday, too. D.L. Roth is 61. Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet. It's almost like Maz is here doing birthdays. Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet, banded to the track called True. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard. 55 years old. 1939, on October the 10th, the real Eleanor Rigby died in her sleep at the age of 44.
Wait, that's what year?
1939.
Yeah, because then they just find her head.
Yeah, they saw the headstone. That's
so she doesn't even know the song. Why is she on birthdays? Get out of here, Rigby.
I know. By the way, the song was originally going to be called Miss Daisy Hawkins. Can you imagine it? Miss Daisy Hawkins.
Oh, God. Okay, you're back in, Rigby. You're back on the list. Probably a good-sounding name.
Black Sabbath's Paranoid hit number one on the UK charts on this day in 1970.
1970?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a lot older than I thought.
Let's see, 78. Steven Tyler and Joe Perry injured at a Philadelphia Aerosmith show after firecrackers were thrown on stage. I guess they finished the show. I don't know how bad the injury was. I don't know why that makes the list. But
kill this song. I'm not digging this song. I'm sorry. No, I'm not digging it. Are you digging it?
Yeah, I just like I like
Jay,
what you call it.
Jay, your tiebreaker.
Paul Rogers.
I like it.
Yes. I didn't know. I really didn't know he had this queued up either.
I don't even know this song. I don't even know this song. And I have this CD too.
Yeah, Verses, right?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't know you had this. I was gonna have you queue up Van Halen doing "Won't Get Fooled Again" that we watched. Which is
really,
have you seen that video?
Yes. Bonzo's funeral was on this day in 1980. John Bonham had choked on his own vomit. Did 40 shots in 4 hours. And his funeral was October 10, 1980. 81, October 10. Police's Ghost in the Machine is their third number one album. 1987, the three members of ZZ Top made advanced bookings for seats on the first passenger flight to the moon.
Cool!
So when did they go? Must have missed that. You're still waiting for the reservation. And then 2007... Blender Magazine named their worst lyricists of all time.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's a funny list. They only had four of them on there, but number four was Noel Gallagher of Oasis.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
Why? Because Wonderwall doesn't mean anything and Champagne Supernova doesn't really mean anything?
Well, you know, they have songs that I think are... I was thinking about their songs, and there's some that I really like. I think they're real simple, but they make a great point. And then there's some that are like, what is this all about? What the fuck is he talking about?
About something.
No, I don't care either. I just like the song. Scott Stapp was number three.
when he did the Marlin song about the baseball team?
I think it goes a lot deeper than that.
Just kidding.
Neil Peart, number two from Rush. Neil Peart.
What? That's ridiculous.
Well, he writes some crazy. I mean,
yeah, that's what they're known for, is crazy lyrics.
Oh, it's a little too crazy for some. I mean, a lot of it's about what is he writing about?
I don't know.
I mean, sci-fi, isn't it?
Yeah, magic. stuff that goes way over my head.
And I don't know, what was number one in here? Oh, shit. Oh, Sting. Sting. Sting was number one. They reference his deep, you know, some of the stuff like Nabokov and Nabokov, whatever is Nabokov.
Sure, I don't know.
He wrote the Lolita book. I mean, he just references a lot of real deep.
Yay.
Literary figures that no one knows what the fuck he's talking about.
But everyone goes, wow, that's really deep.
Yeah, oh man, God, that's so cool, man. I can't believe you included that in your lyrics. What does it mean?
Yeah, can you please explain it to us, Gordon?
Van Halen live in 5150? Is that what it is? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure, play a few seconds, a few minutes, a few...
We've never performed this song in the studio.
No way, just start singing it, Sammy. Is that Sammy?
Yeah. That's what's really kind of funny about it, is just seeing them interact.
The Who had a great set list, that old cella. Did you see their set list?
No, I did not.
Pretty sweet.
Let me hear it. I was thinking I'd like to do a whole show on favorite cover songs. I love covers. I mean, how cool to see Van Halen doing one of the Who's biggest songs.
All right, the Who did I Can't Explain, The Seeker, Who Are You?
Nice.
The Kids Are All Right.
Cool.
I Can See for Miles.
Excellent.
My Generation. My Generation, Cry If You Want. Behind Blue Eyes.
Oh, nice.
Great song. Bargain, Join Together.
Oh, Bargain is one of my favorite Who songs.
You Better, You Bet.
Sweet.
515, I'm One, The Rock. Love Rain Over Me.
Wow.
And you have Eminence Front.
Oh, love that song.
Amazing Journey, Sparks, The Ass Queen.
Does it freak you out a little bit that Eminence Front is a commercial that plays all the time now? Isn't that kind of weird?
It kind of is, yeah.
Because I always love that. That instrumental is the guitar at the beginning of the keyboard.
Is it for Greektown Casino? Is that what it's for? What's it for?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
I can't remember. Amazing Journey, Sparks, Acid Queen, and the last four are Pinball Wizard, See Me, Feel Me, Baba O'Reilly. It won't get fooled again!
Yeah!
There's an old saying in Texas, it's in Tennessee.
Fool me once,
shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again! Best political quote of all time. George Dubs. Did I talk over a solo, Jay, or is that coming up?
Got a minute.
We were laughing, too, when Jay and I were watching this, because you can see Eddie being kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Just being a...
Oh, when they're not playing, you mean?
Well, he's, like, doing his solo, and he's, you know, he's so nitpicky, he's such a perfectionist about the sound, that you can see him complaining about his headphones, and then he's messing with all his buttons and toys and foot pedals.
He, like, drags Sammy until he keeps pointing to his headphones, bitching about his headphones the whole time.
Yeah, I want Sammy to take care of it.
What's Sammy supposed to do? He's not a headphone tech.
Maybe he wants to sing it, like, fix Eddie's headphones!
Watch here, he starts fussing.
Did he break a string? No.
Like fucking with his gear.
Yeah, he's dicking around.
Watch, he starts putting edges.
Is he going to be able to hit the string, Drew?
Yeah, Sammy will hit it, I think. Yeah, downplayed it a little bit.
He tried his best.
They're all wasted!
That's interesting, using playing the keyboard part on the guitar. Not easy. Playing it pretty well.
See if he can do it.
To me, the hidden ingredient in Van Halen is Michael Anthony.
Better that time.
Better than Roger Daltrey can do right now. Yeah, that was the scream. Michael Anthony's backing vocals are so good.
Almost as good as Wolfgang's.
Yeah.
So watch. They're complimenting Sammy on the scream and Eddie's bitching about his headphones.
Whoa! Hey. Whoa!
Oh, those headphones.
Talk about a scream at the end.
Your studio, yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
I let it all go.
My headphones just went
soft. I let it all go, Mike.
That was broke.
Went for broke on it. Well, lost a little bit of my hair.
Woo. Oh, sorry about cutting a little.
Oh, right, headphones back. Just...
Headphones.
Oh, man. He's probably still talking about it. Okay. I just got distracted by a text message. Sorry about that.
Uh-oh. Is it important?
Yeah, but from the person on the other end, it might be. It's pretty
okay.
important.
Yeah, all right.
But it's okay. We're getting there.
You need a minute.
47 in.
I mean, it is a podcast. We can pause it.
True. No, that's okay. It's not that. It's not urgent. There's just a lot of odds and ends that really some from the last couple days. Did you read about Sean Penn's new? Well, I don't know if she's his girlfriend, but these pictures of him sucking face with Vincent D'Onofrio's 24-year-old daughter on the beach.
Really? Is she hot?
She looks pretty good.
What does he want to make, like, the most perfect acting child ever by sex with D'Onofrio's offspring? Because he's a great actor.
Should nail De Niro's
can't
daughter.
Tell how hot she is.
Yeah, can't really tell. But
knock it off.
You know, cut it out, Penn. Could you date somebody
32 years younger?
I sort of want to say, you know, within... like 15 years, is it? 56, 40, he's 56.
Well, maybe
okay, let's say the girl's 40, 41. I mean, that seems like they would be able to have a conversation.
Maybe they're in love.
But 24 and 56, doesn't it just seem like you look at him and you go, wait, is that her dad or what's the deal there? Oh, they're kissing. She's kissing her dad. What's going on?
I was trying to wonder, like, why, like, how do they even know each other?
Sure, he saw her and just wanted to bag her. Just said, I'm
Sean like Trump.
Penn.
He's like Trump. He just starts kissing him.
Just grabbed her pussy.
Yeah.
He'll grab her by the pussy move.
He is famous, you know?
Yeah, he is. And I'm sure she loves his movies. So there. But how long does that last? I guess Sean's so intense.
Why would she be so enamored by him? Her dad is D'Onofrio.
Maybe she can help fix Sean.
Oh, no one can fix Sean Penn. He doesn't want to be fixed.
No, he doesn't want to be fixed. He doesn't want to be happy. I think if he was happy, wouldn't that ruin everything?
I was just reading a story online here. Apparently, Halloween stores have pulled their scary clown masks.
Wait, say it again?
A place in Centerline, Crypt Keepers Halloween Emporium, has pulled all their creepy clown masks. They're not going to sell anymore.
Oh, come on.
It's not worth the sale.
What is it coming to?
That's the quote. It's not worth the sale. These people are causing an epidemic. Is it really an epidemic?
It seems like an epidemic.
Being idiots? I mean, a mask is a mask is a mask. It's still a person inside.
Well, but I guess the fear is anyone in a mask is looking to do harm to you.
I know,
can't tell anymore.
If they're wearing, say, a Trump mask or a clown mask, it's still the same idiot trying to do some harm, right?
Right. It really doesn't matter.
A Yoda mask. I mean, who cares?
If it's a mask, the person can be up to no good. If they're wearing a mask, they can be robbing a bank.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, why wouldn't you just be like, take that mask off, idiot, that's standing by the woods? What are you doing? You're not a real clown.
How are the clown mask sales going to stack up anyway now that you got Ken Bone Halloween costume?
I know. Well, the clown masks were up 300%, but you know Bone is going to be up 1,000%.
No Bone's talent
gonna,
ass clown.
Bone's going to surpass that in no time.
Along the same lines, did you hear about the they're pulling these burka costumes because of all this backlash?
Huh?
Yeah.
Why? Because they're co-opting another culture or...
No.
What's the backlash?
The backlash is, okay, first of all, they're sexy burka costumes.
Okay.
You know, there's the hijab and the long sleeves, but the skirt is short. It's like a short skirt with it. It's a Halloween thing.
Okay.
For girls that want to have a costume and say, hey, I'm wearing a burka. I'm
Islam's offended?
I'm Islamic. Yes, Islam is offended.
Okay, can you not dress
up? It's a costume, though.
You're not allowed to dress up. Can you dress up like a Native American, or is that co-opting a culture now?
I don't know. That's kind of the point I was going to make is...
that's Halloween.
Why is everything so complicated now?
Remember, that happened at Yale last year. There was a big letter sent out about being careful with your costumes and co-opting other cultures. It's Halloween. Isn't that the point of Halloween?
It's a costume. It's a joke. It's all a joke. Nobody's saying, I'm wearing this because I disrespect your religion.
There was a football coach from, was it Columbia University or whatever? But he would give out like the sombrero for the big hit of the week or whatever. And he tweeted out a picture and had to apologize because he awarded the sombrero.
Oh, you know what? Just don't apologize.
He's co-opting the Hispanic Mexican culture by giving out the sombrero.
Who complained? I bet you the person that complained was not Mexican. I'm just going to guess. I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
You know what? Let me find the story. Let me look for it. Hang on.
Upon making the fine, offended users flocked to the item's page to vent outrage, accusing the seller of cultural appropriation, racism, and disparaging the Islamic religion. Is this some sort of mockery? It's not a joke. My religion is not a joke.
Well, then tell the extremists to stop killing people.
What about
is
the people?
Is ISIS a joke? Why don't you worry about them instead?
Now, on Halloween, I've seen people dressed as nuns. I've seen people dressed as priests. But it's Halloween.
That's frightening.
So I think people generally view it in that mindset, I think.
Of course they do, Drew.
Here's another. You're all discussing racists. My culture is not your costume, another offended person wrote.
Well, why don't they just dress up like you said, a nun or a rabbi? If they're, could you imagine? As if they would dress up like a rabbi.
There is no God.
I think political correction has become so... people are becoming so overwhelmed by this whole concept that, you know, there was a part of it that I'm sure made some sense, but it is so out of whack now. Just absolutely out of whack.
Here's the picture of this. It's Cornell football, the guy that tweeted it out. You want to see the picture that someone was deeply offended by?
I'm sure it's horrible.
It's just a football player wearing a sombrero.
Stop whining.
Who's the offended person? Are they Mexican?
Let's see. Emin and Fosta, the big sombrero, that's all the tweet read with a, the picture. Students complained that the photo of the white football players wearing a Mexican sombrero was offensive cultural appropriation.
So are we saying that, no, you can't wear a sombrero if you're not Mexican? Not allowed?
No, you're not allowed. You will be co-opting their culture. Mecca de Cornell, which describes itself as the official voice of Chicanic students at Cornell University, posted a screenshot of the tweet on its Facebook page, adding, Cornell University, who manages your Twitter page?
So I would imagine that the makers of sombreros are going to be a lot less interested in making sombreros.
Well, they're making money off
only be worn by persons.
They better not be, you know, non-Mexicans making those sombreros.
In other Islamic news,
stop it!
We could do a feature on Islamic news every day. Honestly, there's so many stories, not necessarily just like this one, but just as an example, and I don't have the story right in front of me, but basically the story is about the chess championships being played in, Iraq or Dubai or Saudi or somewhere, and they're saying that any females who are in the World Chess Championship will have to wear a hijab.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that, that's ridiculous.
No, well, one of the, U.S., didn't one of the, was she from U.S., decided, said she's not, I'm not going to wear one.
Yeah, their
Well, they're saying they're not going to go. They're not going to be in it. Yeah. They're just saying, sorry, not interested.
Yeah.
Not doing that. And
it's in Iran, so of
course. It seems to me it's, I mean, what a preposterous thing. Yeah. Why would you put these people in that position?
Because it's Iran. It's a religious state.
So not only, but this is interesting to me. State. Okay, so we have two messages here. One is that you can't appropriate our culture, and the other one is you will appropriate our culture.
Well, only as long as it's not a costume, right?
Right, it's not a costume. You will wear it, and you'll be serious about it.
Yeah.
You wear it!
Well, anytime you see you've seen Diane Sawyer go over there. She throws it on.
Which I think is BS, to be honest. Why should she wear a hijab?
Well, how ridiculous is it to make a woman wear something?
No, it's preposterous.
Period. Whether it's for your religion or because your country just wants women to wear it. That's ridiculous.
They also don't want women to drive.
How is that accepted story, by in the that way, religion?
I want to say it was in Saudi Arabia, the story about the... They were coming up with the rules for licensing women to drive cars, which they do not have the right to drive cars. I'm pretty sure it's Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And the rules were if your husband was not around, you could get permission from your oldest son.
Yeah, I know.
To drive.
Infuriating, really.
How do the women live that way? How? I don't understand. Why is that religion?
Hey, if you believe in the religion, you want to wear the hijab or you want to wear a burqa or whatever it is, fine. But don't make another woman that's in that religion, if she doesn't think it's right to wear it, wear it.
But asking your oldest son for permission to drive, that would be the day I would say, okay, I'm out.
It's an anti-woman, definitely anti-homosexual religion.
And we were going to... enforce democracy upon this world where all people are equal.
I know. How stupid. How utterly stupid.
Seven things women in Saudi Arabia cannot do. I'm curious to see what these are. Drive a car. Wear clothes or makeup that show off their beauty. Oh, what a tragedy. Interact with men. Go for a swim.
Oh.
Women are not allowed to use public swimming pools available to men and can only swim in private ones or female-only gyms and spas. Reuters editor Arlene Getz describes her experience of trying to use the gym and pool at an upmarket Riyadh hotel. As a woman, I wasn't even allowed to look at them. There are men in swimsuits there.
I got to find that. There was a great story that was similar to that.
The last two are compete freely in sports and try on clothes when shopping.
What?
The mere thought of a disrobed woman behind a dressing room door is apparently too much for men to handle.
Wow.
Other more unusual restrictions on women's lives include entering a cemetery and reading an uncensored fashion magazine. An uncensored fashion magazine. Wow.
Here's the headline that reminded me of. An Iranian minister is under fire for touching a German man who's actually a woman. He shook hands with what he thought was a man, and it turned out to be a woman.
Woo! Okay.
Can you believe that? Don't you want to see what she looks like?
No.
Really?
Not really.
And the lady that shook the hand was another woman, right? I believe. So it was two women, and now she's in trouble because she shook another woman's hand.
Well, that reminds me of
religion.
That story in, oh boy, was it Denmark or Belgium or somewhere where there's two... Islamic kids, 14, 15-year-old, would not shake the teacher's hand because she was a woman.
Switzerland, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Switzerland. Yeah. That's right. And they ended up saying, then you cannot be in our school system. If you can't be in our school system, you can't be in our country. So we'll
see ya. What if you just didn't want to shake their hand, though, just out of curiosity? What if you didn't like the person?
Well, that would be disrespectful to the teacher, I guess, is the point. Like teachers are respected there. Did you hear about... The Michael Strahan, the kid who is claiming he's Michael Strahan's son. Yeah. Have you seen pictures of him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He sure looks like Michael Strahan, doesn't he?
I thought Strahan was gay, though. Wasn't he? Wasn't he gay for a while?
He's got four kids.
Oh, I know. I'm joking. But there were gay rumors about him.
Oh, yeah.
For a
yeah,
while.
There were gay rumors.
There were also those fun stories about, remember, we went down to the hotel and scared her half to death, his ex-wife. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I just can't remember the details.
And yet this guy just got a promotion to host GMA.
I still don't see how that's working or how that will work long term.
It doesn't. It doesn't work at all.
Okay, this kid looks so much like Michael Strahan, right down to the gap in the teeth. That's the amazing thing. You know, the face, the size. He's 6'4". He's like 250.
Ooh, recruit him. How old is he?
He doesn't play
any
football.
Eligibility left? No, what? He's not his kid.
He played high school football, and I guess he was good, but maybe just not great. Anyway, the story gets a little weird because he wanted to meet Michael, and he wanted to talk to him, and Michael Strahan would not meet with him.
Well, and then he's probably his kid.
And so he said, what about, you know, why don't you want him to find out if I'm your son or not? Because I'm certain of it. I'm absolutely certain if you spend 15 minutes with me, you'll know. And Michael Strahan said, something to the effect of, I know where this is going. You're going to want a DNA test. And the kid said, no, that's not really what I want. Although that would certainly, you know, solve the thing. And next thing he knew, Michael Strahan was offering to take a DNA test at the DNA laboratory of his choosing only.
What? Why, so he could pay him off, manipulate him?
Well, it didn't sound good. I mean, that doesn't sound good.
Who says that? Who has a DNA lab of their choosing?
How many labs did he go to before he picked
Google
the one of his choosing?
I see a lab closest to me. Enter.
So anyway, the kid said, well,
my location. Enter.
The kid said, and I thought this was kind of cool in a way, he said, I don't want a DNA test.
Yeah, he's not his kid.
And I think part of it might have been the kid was suspicious about, you know, the DNA choice of lab of my choice.
But
the kid basically backed out and said, you know, if this is what it's all about to you, then, you know.
But you just said he played high school football, so he's over 18, mm-hmm. right? So what's the point? Unless he wants some of his fortune when he dies.
I just think he wanted to meet him. He wanted to meet his father.
No, I know. But if he turned out, it's not like there's any money that Strahan would be out.
No,
so what's the point, Michael?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't understand it. There's a number of cases like this involving celebrities, and I find the celebrities usually are really just dicks about it. Like they just feel that, you know, somebody's trying to snooker them. And in this case, I really didn't feel the kid, just based on the way he puts the story forth. But anyway, and it surprised me too, because Michael Strahan seems like the kind of guy that would want to make it right. Michael Strahan's celebrity net worth, by the way, $65 million.
Wow. God, I would have thought it would have been more, to tell you the truth.
My Islamic news. I know I have more to my Islamic news here. Hold on. Oh, in Pakistan, they are trying to actually put an end to honor killings.
Oh, good.
How about that?
Slow down.
Pakistan passed a law to clamp down on honor killings after a surge of recent high-profile killings of young women by family members prompted international outrage. Under previous law, killers could go unpunished if they were granted forgiveness by relatives. The new law allows only family members to pardon the killer from the death penalty. The murderer could still face a mandatory sentence of 12 and a half years if convicted of the honor killing. And there's a case that this is specific to. Let's see. The imposition bill came after the murder in July of social media celebrity Quandil Balak, 26, who was killed by her younger brother. She was a singer and model whose sensual videos and suggestive photos on social media insulted her brother's honor.
Oh, God, what an asshole.
Her brother drugged and then strangled her as she slept while confessing his crime in court.
Yeah, because he got hard over his sister? Is that why his honor was violated?
He said he was proud of the murder. I've earned heaven and honor by providing relief to my family.
Cool. Well, we'll kill you. You can get there faster then.
Girls are born only to stay at home and bring honor to the family by following traditions that she had never done. My friend used to send me her videos, pictures on my mobile phone. Oh, nice. Everyone was sharing.
Nice friend.
Nice. What
friend.
What
way
assholes.
To go. He should be culpable in the murder.
What dickheads, you know? Isn't it amazing?
Horrible. Although he probably, who knows what this person who sent it probably agrees with the honor killing.
You know, I hate to be so brash about it, but how ridiculous, how absolutely stupid in 2016 that this shit is going on. Why are people not
ludicrous.
Standing up and demanding an end be put to this immediately?
I don't know.
Well, obviously because a lot of them believe in it.
It's funny because there was even the question about Islamophobia last night at the debate. It's like, okay, we can accept this religion, but can this religion start accepting others? You know, why don't we make that step, too?
Well, come on. Making people who don't share the religion wear a hijab because they're in chess championship.
Even the women in the religion. Maybe give them a little more freedom.
Oh, that's not.
You can't be gay and be in that religion.
No. Well, now you're really pushing it.
Well, but see how stupid that is?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Wasn't there
Really don't know what the answer to those questions. I have no idea how that will ever be answered.
Wasn't there like a big honor killing in Canada? Didn't some guy kill his whole family, his wife and daughters, and said it was honor killing because he was Muslim? Does that ring a bell?
I remember the case. Like, yeah, I did. 48
Hours did something on it.
I don't remember why he did it though. I don't remember what the honor was all about.
Well, I think he just wanted to murder him.
But here, this kid is saying, I've brought honor to my family. I'm proud of the murder, and the worst he can serve is 12 and a half years. Good God. I've been getting a kick out of these stories about Steve Avery and his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting engaged like every 2 months. He's got a new fiance.
Yeah, all right.
And the last one was, I thought she was pretty attractive. You know, he's 54. What?
Really?
Yeah, she wasn't bad looking. I'll find her. No, not from the documentary.
The one was like 80?
This is recent. No, that one is, the one in her 70s, he dumped her.
That's the one who ran to the tabloid, right, and said that he's out of control.
He might have been her. I don't remember exactly that part of the story. But she was his fiance for a good while. And then he started getting all these letters from all these other women. And remember, she said he was getting an ego and that he thinks he's hot. And, he only wants to talk to these girls after he's seen their pictures. He's demanding pictures. This guy, who probably is a murderer.
He is.
Look, I'll talk to you, but not until I get a picture. You know, I gotta weed out the ugly ones, okay? There's a lot of demand for me. A lot of demand on my time. So anyway, he meets this girl who's 52. She's pretty close to his age. Yeah, there she is. Look at the reaction on her. There's a lot of other, not else to her, but
well, it's got a way better than he deserves.
And he's got his arms around her. So apparently you can hug your wife in prison.
Can you grab her by the pussy?
For murder?
Oh, no, wait. Well, he is famous.
He is famous, so he's allowed to do that, right?
Apparently. Anyway, he dumped her. That's the one he just dumped. Yeah. He
dumped her.
Dumped her. He's angry at her for going on Dr. Phil. Because she was paid $5,000 to go on Dr. Phil. She says she's cashing in, and she made $1,000 for some other media appearance, apparently. But it's just really funny to me. She's forgiving him for being a murderer, and he will not forgive her for making $5,000 on Dr. Phil. That's very interesting. What a value system we have here.
Out of control. We should have hot women start to... corresponding with Avery and getting engaged to him and then making money off of him just to drive him mad.
Boy, that would be funny to pose as a hot chick and send pictures.
Except you got to go up there and get hugged and groped by the pussy.
No, we'll just be at the letter writing stage. Oh, we'll send pictures and...
The Jason Moss stage?
Yeah. Just to see how he talks to us, her.
Get him to admit it.
Yeah, get him
so
to admit it.
So killed her. Teresa Halbach.
Yeah, no, I think he's guilty as hell.
I was wondering, I was reading a story about Amanda Knox, Foxy Knoxy today, and that the murder victim, Meredith Kirchner, her sister watched that documentary. Are you kind of surprised by that? Would you want to watch a documentary?
No, I
wouldn't be able to do that.
I'm surprised. I don't get it.
Then, of course, her big complaint, no surprise, was some of the stuff they showed and how graphic it was. It's like, well, yeah, it's a documentary.
Duh.
Gruesome murder. You know, I'm breaking Billy Bush news?
Yes.
Billy Bush was crying that his career was over when the hot mic conversation surfaced, an insider said.
Well, I don't think his career is over necessarily. Supposedly they're going to forgive him. They're going to let him
crying.
Come back on. Well, I'm sure his career means a lot to him.
He was last seen wandering in track pants and flip-flops. He sounds like a totally defeated man.
I didn't think it was fair. It's 10 years ago, he didn't say the horrible things. He laughed at some things he shouldn't have laughed at.
Called himself,
is it really
a nickname, third-person nickname?
He acted like a doofus, but he is a doofus.
Well, I know. I mean, but like I said before, remember we were talking about NBC and how freaked out they are about being sued by Trump or, just the whole thing coming back on them and the access to Access Hollywood, of course they're going to suspend him. He'll be back.
On what grounds, though? What did he do that was so horrible?
He participated in locker room talk. Locker room talk.
Oh, please.
You know, you're such a Billy Bush fan.
I'm not. I just think it's bullshit. I mean, he laughed at some things he shouldn't have laughed at, but I would like to see those people who think he was suspended. I would like to see how they would behave around a big star who is talking about inappropriate things.
He
would confront them and say, "That's wrong. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't talk about women that way."
Here's what's weird about it. He was just being Billy Bush. I mean, that is Billy Bush, right?
Pretty much, like, yeah.
People point out that is Donald Trump. That's the real Donald Trump. Well, that's really Billy Bush. And that's kind of why he's the host of Access Hollywood.
Yeah, he's getting along with
kiss
he's
celebrity
making buddies
ass.
With a celebrity.
Yeah.
A big one who can bring him ratings once in a while. Did you see Gene Simmons' daughter sent out these sexy pictures?
Yeah.
She's trying to jumpstart her modeling career.
Really? She must be then, right? Mm.
And I would say, judging from the pictures, there looks like there could be an addition to the panty room.
Oh.
There could be multiple additions to the panty room.
Really?
Based on some of these shots. Although I think she's a bit chunky. She could stand to lose 20.
Oh, no. Let me see.
She could lose 20. And then I'd like to see those panties. By the way, it's a great day to be above ground.
Oh, man, that's a huge ass.
I know.
Pretty
I know.
Face, though.
I think people who have huge asses are starting to think that they can get away with it, even when it's not.
Well, that's not the right kind of huge ass, though.
That's what I mean. There's a distinction between someone who's just really fat.
In a bubble butt.
Yeah.
Well, I like her face, though, huh?
Yeah, she's pretty.
But yeah, butt crack. Butt crack.
There's nothing terribly special about her, though, is there?
She's got an exotic look. She's got a nice rack, like you said. She's a little exotic. Nice lips. She's pretty. You're a 4.
Yeah, I think she's okay.
Oh, this one's
yeah,
not
Jay's,
so good.
Jay's giving her low marks.
That one's not so good. You don't like her face?
Face might be one thing, but everything below it. I mean, we got some other pictures here, not the ones you're looking at.
Well, she's sending out modeling photos. I mean, like, and when you think about a model...
Maybe it's for the new Dove campaign.
And that those pictures look retouched to me based on these pictures.
Wow.
I don't think so. I don't think she's going to make the pen.
No, I'm surprised Gene didn't stop her.
I know that ass is just big. There's nothing. Sorry. All right, I see we're well beyond our hour and an hour 13. Jay's got a post. We've already had a huge day with part one, starring the man, Ken Bone.
People were
Bone.
Facebooking, wondering if he was related to Mike Bone.
All right. Have a good one. We'll catch you tomorrow. Anything special tomorrow, man?
Nah.
Okay. It's just us. Sorry. Just us again.
I don't know. What could be special? Maybe we'll call Ken Bone again.
We'll find it. Whoever's the Ken Bone of the day, we'll try and find him.
The Ken Bone of the day. The Bone of the day.
And then we'll probably not get him anyway, so
whatever.
We'll be here. You'll like it.
See you.